Oh, hallelujah. You know, I kind of think like heaven just joined in on that song right there. I think that made it all the way to the throne. Hallelujah. Isn't he worthy of all praise and glory and honor? Hallelujah. Won't we just praise him one more time? Glory and honor and praise. Worthy, 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 worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I honor you. God, I praise you, thou mighty God. Holy and righteous and pure, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God-honoring songs, praise the Lord. Amen. When Brother Brian's talking about those recliners, I saw some people, you know, why don't we have those at church? I could just see that. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, last Sunday evening, at the end of it, we were in a hurry to get finished. And there's some things I want to focus on tonight right before water baptism, I believe, are very important. I don't believe man just needs a good example or a good philosophy. I believe man needs a change of heart and mind and life and direction. Can you say amen? If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to begin reading at verse 37 tonight. Again, it's so great to have everyone in the house of God. The house of God is full of worshipers tonight, and I think it's pleasing to the Lord. And no telling what's going to happen before we leave here. So grateful for all our visitors. Just want you to feel at home and let God minister to your heart tonight. Verse 37. Peter had been preaching, and it said when his congregation, those that are gathered there, heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, he's telling them what they should do, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Nobody's left out of this. I said nobody's left out of this. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I think that reaches clear up to 2012, don't you? "And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves." Now, we can't save ourselves in the sense of doing the work, but he's saying, follow my instructions, repent and be baptized and call on the name. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's quite a revival right there. I want to focus tonight on verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent. And I just want to talk to you a few minutes on this thought, converted. Converted. You know, today, you know, people talk about people coming to the Lord or people getting saved or people being born again. All of those are fitting and well and good. But we used to talk about people getting converted. Well, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they got converted. They really did. Father, bless the preaching of your word. Speak to our hearts. Lord, move beyond the words of man tonight. Minister specifically, Lord, to those that you want to call this evening. Lord, those you want to speak their name and talk to them and call to them and, Lord, bring them out and change their life. Lord, prepare them for eternity with you. Lord, do the work through your Holy Spirit. Bless this baptismal service coming up. In the name of Jesus, amen. All the people said amen. You can be seated. I earnestly believe that Scripture teaches that to become a Christian isn't simply to say you believe something, just simply to say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I don't think to be a Christian is to go through any type of religious ritual or simply to join a church. I think to genuinely be a Christian is to be converted. To be converted. Very simply put, Converted means to change from one thing to another. To change from one frame of mind to another. To change from one form to another. To change from one belief to another. To change from one destiny to another. Hallelujah. I believe in conversion and being changed. These people that we are reading about in this Acts story, they truly, that day, 3,000 of them, they truly were converted. Their lives went under a drastic, total, revolutionary change. They went home different people than what they came. Hallelujah. I still believe the Lord makes that kind of difference. Can you say amen? I want to remind us that this was the same crowd that had been many of them that cried out, crucify him. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. This crowd that had hollered that, now they're leaving after this service, this preaching of Peter. And the ones that said, crucify him, they were saying, I want to serve him. I love him. I want to follow him. He's my Lord. What made that change from crucify him to he's my Lord? They were converted. They were changed. I think down deep in the heart of every person, not only is there a need for a change, but I think in the hearts of people who do not know Jesus, there is a desire. They truly, if you could get to the bottom of it, they truly desire and want to change. They're tired of the same old life. They're tired of the same being the same person. They're tired of the same traps and the same sins and the same darkness in their life. They truly do want a change. Well, I'm telling you, he's able to make a change. Glory to God. In fact, every time he is introduced to a person's life, invited in to their life, he makes a change. Can you say amen? I didn't know anything about it till reading this week. But in Nevada, yearly, they have what they call the Burning Man Festival. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. Probably not. Some may have. It's more of these, more of the liberal yuppie, far out culture. And every summer, north of Reno, 50,000 people gather. And they deem themselves, they're liberal in every sense of the word, but they deem themselves artists and philosophers and all of this. And 50,000 of them gather, and there's reveling, there's hedonistic things happening, there's partying all night, and supposedly ostensibly the reason is to enjoy the art that's set up there and to enjoy the discussions and all of these things. 50,000 people in the desert. Well, one minister decided he'd try to think of a way to reach some of them, but a way that would speak to them. And so as others set up their art, you know, and it wouldn't be what we would call art, but what they would call art, he decided he'd have an art exhibit. And what he did, with some help, he made 3 towers out of plywood and painted them white. And they were 12 to 15 feet tall, and they had a door in them. And there inside there were steps, and you could go up to the top. And he put out a sign, and he invited people. He said, if you would, what you can do, you can go to the top of these towers and just sit and listen. He called it the voice of the Spirit. Listen for the voice of the Spirit to them. That necessarily wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was anything, you know, it's whatever. There's so many different religions. But he said, just go up there and listen to the Holy Spirit. And to make a long story short, he talked, you know, some people made fun, but he said over the course of the time that he was there, many of them went up into those towers and sat on the top out there in the desert listening for the voice of the Spirit. But the thing that I noted out of everything else that happened there, he told and he said how so many of them, I mean, we're talking about they deemed themselves leading intellectuals and artists and people that are free, you know, to live in free expression. He said so many of them came down off of those towers weeping and saying some form of these words, I've got to make some changes. I've got to make some changes. Some things in my life have got to change. Amen. You know, here they have no exposure or context of Christianity, and they're truly, in the truest sense, people of the world, if the cry of their heart in a quiet moment is, there's got to be a change in my life. Oh, I wish I could tell them that the change they are desiring, Jesus and only Jesus, He can make that change. He can change him completely and totally. Are you glad for a Savior who can make a change? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. In fact, I would venture to ask, what good is a religion if it does not change a person's life and living? Hallelujah. You see, in our text that I read to you tonight, it's clear that conviction brings on the change. Conviction brings on the change. Look at verse 37. When they heard Peter's preaching of Jesus, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When Jesus was preached, the people strongly and overwhelmingly felt their need of him. They sensed, they knew that they had been wrong. The Bible puts it this way: they were pricked in their heart. In other words, like a knife, the Spirit of the Lord penetrated their facade and made His way to the very core of their being. The Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God, got into the depths of their thinking. They felt something. It was more than emotion. It's what we call conviction. It was the purity of God reaching in and touching the impurity of their heart. In another sense, these people knew they had been had. They knew that they were guilty. They knew that they were godless without God. I begin to think what they might have felt. I think they felt the ugliness of what they had done. To think that they had hollered out to the one who delivered and healed. They had hollered out, "Crucify him, crucify him." I think they felt the ugliness of what they'd done. I think they felt the upsetness over having done that and been that way. I think they felt the urgency to do something about it. I don't like feeling this way. What shall we do? But I also think they felt an unction from God compelling them to Jesus, that He's the answer. He's the solution. He is whom you need. Oh, hallelujah. That's conviction. Amen. It's not just trying to make you feel bad, to make you feel bad, but it's letting you see your need of Jesus, leading you to the Christ. Some people that are new to church, they wonder why they feel upset. My wife talked to a woman. She said, "I don't like to go to church because every time I go, I just sit there and cry and don't know why." Amen. That is conviction. That is God calling and reaching, saying, "This is your problem. But if you would come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I would give you rest. I would take away your sin. I would make you a new person." For anyone that is in Christ becomes a new creation, and old things pass away, and all things become new. It was conviction. Amen. That was evidence that the Spirit had truly come. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell. And an evidence of that was not just the talking in tongues, but it was the fact that people that needed the Lord felt pricked in their hearts. I want to pause to say this, and I've got to move on because I promised you I'd preach short tonight. But one of the ways you can tell anything that calls itself a move of God, a revival, one of the ways you can tell it's real is there a conviction of sin? From the Scripture, we learn that wherever the holy God is, unholiness feels uncomfortable. Wherever the Savior is, the sinner feels something crying out, "I need Him." I don't care how many people are following them, how many miracles they do. If there's no conviction of sin, it's not a genuine move of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? That's evidence it came. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, He's going to come. And when He is come, He is going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Notice what Jesus said, when the Spirit is come, he will reprove of sin and righteousness and judgment. Today there seems to be a great effort by churches to make unbelievers feel comfortable and not to offend them. Now, I'm not talking about socially. I'm not talking about in terms of relations of humans and manners. I think that if someone comes in, they don't know God, we ought to be as cordial and hospitable and kind and gracious and all of that. But there's an effort to make unbelievers come to church, be able to hear the singing, be able to hear the preaching, and never feel uncomfortable, never feel offended. I've read that in these days, the preacher's not supposed to use words like sin and sinner and unbeliever. What we're supposed to call folks are the non-churched, you that are non-churched. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? Listen, we're not trying to make people feel bad. We're just letting people see that there is a need. Amen. There is a need. The Spirit does that. There is a need, but he is able through Jesus Christ to meet that need. Amen. If people feel okay where they're at, why bother them? Why should they be bothered? When there's no preaching of sin and impending judgment, there is nothing to feel the need of being saved from anything. But I want you to know, folks do need to be saved. They need to be saved from their sins. They need to be saved from their destructive ways. They need to be saved from Satan. They need to be saved from darkness. They need to be saved from the world. They need to be saved from eternity in hell. There's a lot of reasons people need to be saved, and I'm so glad to preach that Jesus is able to save. And as Peter said in this message, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. And the door is open for all. Amen. So they cried, what shall we do? But not only that, repentance reveals the desire for change. A person that really wants a change in their life, they will repent. Peter said unto them, repent. Repent simply means to change the mind. I mean, literally, that's what the Greek word means, to change the mind. Repent means to change the mind. Amen. One does not repent until they change the way they think about the things they've done. Amen. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of desire. It's a change of aspirations. I'm telling you, when a person really meets Christ and gets saved, he does not continue on to think the same way about the things he's always done. He changes his thinking. Repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry. It's thinking the thing that I have done was the wrong thing to do. It's thinking not only was it wrong to do, it's thinking I never ever want to do it again. It was wrong of me. Listen, to repent isn't adding Christ to my life, amen, to try to make my life better. But to repent is abandoning my old life to live the better life in Jesus Christ. Amen. We got too many people think that Christianity is something you just tack on and add on to the life as usual, the life as you've always lived it. No, sir. When you meet Christ, when he saves you, amen, you live in a whole new way. You live a whole new life. Hallelujah. You were in darkness, now are you in light. Hallelujah. Thank God. And it comes about by repentance. Again, Brother Oki, we're told today not to use that word. If you want a mega church, amen, build a mega church. Amen. Don't use the word repent. It offends people. Amen. The one of the reasons I keep using it, because when John the Baptist stepped on the scene out of the wilderness and began to preach, introducing the Messiah to come, when he began to preach, the Bible said he preached this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came up out of the wilderness filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach, the Bible said he preached repent. And now here it is, the first sermon of the church on the day of Pentecost, and Peter's preaching. What's he preaching? Repent. Why? Because God wants us to jump through hoops, amen, to save us. No, closer, because repentance is the only way to God. You see, we're going the wrong direction. If we come to God, we've got to repent. The only way to get to Him when you're going the wrong direction is to turn around. Turn around. Repentance is turning around, no longer following the wrong way, but headed for the way, the true way. And then, not only does repentance reveal the desire for change, but baptism testifies to the change. I've met with our baptismal candidates, and though they knew it, I wanted to reemphasize it. Water baptism does not save. It just makes a statement that salvation has taken place. Amen. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Amen. One is baptized, a person is baptized to say, as they go underwater, my old life is over. The old person I was is dead. And then they're brought out of the water as Jesus came out of the grave to say, the new person I am in Christ has begun to live. Water baptism is simply a picture of what has taken place spiritually in their life. Amen. I was talking also, a lot of people, it split church. They want to debate and have theological discussions over the fact that Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Yes, Peter said that. But Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So what did Peter mean by being baptized in the name of Jesus? People misunderstand. To be baptized, the expression in the name of Jesus is not a formula like abracadabra. It's not a magical formula. To be baptized in the name of Jesus is to take His name to identify you. For now on, I am a follower of Jesus. I bear His name. To be baptized in the name of Jesus says, for now on, He's the teacher, I'm the student. For now on, He's the Lord, I'm the servant. For now on, He's the leader, I'm the follower. To be baptized in His name says, I'm going to live my life under His authority. I'm going to live my life under His lordship. I am not my own. I've been bought with the price. I'm baptized in the name of Jesus to show that I'm going to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are no longer mine. They are the Lord's. He has purchased me. He has redeemed me. He has bought me. Amen. Baptism in the name of Jesus. Baptism, again, does not save a person. It states that he has been saved. Again, some folks want to miss what Peter says. He says here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. They read it long. They read it this way. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that there can be, in order that there can be remission of sins. And so they make water baptism a part of taking away sins. They're reading it wrong. The way it's to be read is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins. Be baptized because of the remission of sins. Some say that the water baptism is what saves you. If that's true, then the thief on the cross, amen, he never made it to paradise, though Jesus told him he was going, because he was never baptized in water. He never had the opportunity. If you have the opportunity, you ought to be baptized in obedience to Christ. But it was not baptism that saved that thief. If water baptism is what saves you, then Peter had it wrong earlier in his message, because earlier in this message he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say whosoever is baptized in water shall be saved. He said whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many remembers later on in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas in jail begin to sing praises, and God rocked the jailhouse. Jailhouse rock. Amen. An earthquake came, opened the doors. Amen. Long story short, the jailer was going about to kill himself. himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Amen. Paul called out and said, "Don't kill yourself. We're all here." He took Paul and Silas into his private quarters and he fell down trembling under conviction. There it is again. And he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul answered him, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." No water baptism there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's what he done. And once he was saved, then the Bible says, and he took them the same hour and washed their stripes. And the same hour, the jailer was baptized. He wasn't getting baptized to get saved. He was getting baptized because he had been saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's washed away our sins with his blood? And to come out of that water is to say, like the water has covered me and washed me, so the blood has already washed and covered me. Thank God. And in this short portion of Peter's instruction, the infilling of the Holy Spirit follows the change. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I want to say something very simplistic. The Holy Spirit only comes to those who have been converted, whose lives have been changed. Amen. I'm not going to the story tonight, but I dealt with a person once that believed they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they'd never been saved. And I looked at them and said, "That is not the Holy Spirit. He comes to those who've been converted." Amen. Oh, there's so much there. I'm just going to go on, though. I made a promise. Amen. I did have a question. Some people say this thing of the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was only for the apostles. If that's true, why is one of the apostles promising it to the whole crowd? Amen. If some people say the baptism of the Holy Ghost is being part of being born again. Well, if it's part of being born again, why does he promise that it's going to come after they're baptized in water? Now, it may come before the baptism in water. That's not the point. The point is they were already saved and baptized in water. And then he said, "Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It comes subsequent to salvation. But what is this gift of the Holy Spirit? It's not just another feel-good experience. Amen. It is the equipping. It is the anointing. It is the empowering of the believer to live the new life and be the testimony of Jesus, the testifier, the witnesser of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here, though, Paul said, or excuse me, I keep getting my apostles confused here. You keep them straight for me. Peter said, "Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Aren't you glad he put it that way? The gift of the Holy Ghost. We're not saved by works. We don't earn it or merit it. We are saved by the grace of God. It's the free gift of God. We are saved by faith. And by the same token, the Holy Ghost is not earned, it's not deserved or merited. The Holy Spirit is received by faith as a gift that God is extending to those whose lives he's changed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. One more note, we'll move on. But the fact that it's the gift of the Holy Ghost means we don't have to beg the Lord for it. He's ready to give it to us. In fact, Jesus said, you know, if your son asks for a stone or for an egg, you won't give him a stone. If he asks for this, you won't give him something else. He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will not the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm about done, but as I've been looking at the book of Acts again, my cry has been, I want the real thing of the book, not what is being pushed out there as the church today. I'm not here to be critical, but I read, I follow what's going on in the church world. And here's what I've noticed. The conviction of sin has been replaced with an effort to attract the unbeliever and entertain them once they're there. That's replaced, conviction. The repentance we've talked about has been replaced with this thought to the unbeliever: revive and fulfill your dream. Instead of repent, it's come to God and let Him fulfill your dreams. Amen. The baptism of the test is a testimony of what has taken place in the life. But the testimony of God's power to change has been replaced with folks being told to revel in who you are and revel in the gifts that you have. The infilling of the Holy Spirit in the church has been replaced with the thought to reach your full of potential. I don't believe it works that way. I believe we need the Holy Spirit to show us that we need the Savior. We need conviction. And I believe the only way to the Savior is turn from the ways of destruction that we might find the Savior, repentance. And I believe baptism didn't put me into a church. It didn't write my name on some roll in heaven. I believe baptism is just a testimony of the power of Christ to change a life. And I believe what I need is not my potential, my ability, amen, my resource. I believe I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I need the power from on high. And then in verse 40, Peter went on and said, the scripture says, with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In other words, put in modern words, save yourself from this sick world that's headed for destruction. Amen. That's the kind of preaching at the beginning of the church. And I think it ought to be the kind of preaching in the church today. Listen, folks, if you don't know Jesus, amen, save yourself from this sick world that's headed for destruction. He loves you. He cares for you. He gave His Son to die that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Peter kept urging them to repent and to be baptized. Kept on and on, urging them. Here's the wonderful thing. Many of those that heard him began to surrender their hearts and began to accept the good news of Christ and began to repent. Look in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, like we're going to do tonight, were baptized in water. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They welcomed the preaching. They saw it the way out that they needed. They heard in the preaching the change they so desperately desired. Brother Steve's going to be leading us a minute in song service, but music, if you begin to come, I'm going to close. There are things you'll never hear in your news or rarely hear in your news. And you probably haven't heard this, but there is a revival right in the middle of Iran right now. Folks, Muslims are getting saved. Because of the persecution, they're having to flee for refuge, and many of them have found refuge in Germany. I was reading last night about some baptisms, or Friday night, some baptisms of these Iranian converts. And what a wonderful thing. In fact, it's inspiring the Church of Germany that had become quite dead and formalistic, because these people are genuinely converted and they're making their way, escaping into Germany and needing to be baptized. And they're being baptized in these churches. Amen. And here's what happens. You see, we don't understand this. We're not raised that way. We don't understand the frame of mind. But for a Muslim to be saved, they need a supernatural visitation. And Jesus knows that, and He's been doing that unconnected, different parts of Iran. Muslims are having the same experience. They're seeing a bright light, or a person that emanates a bright light, appear to them. And here's what He always says. He said, I am Jesus of the Bible and not Isa of the Quran. And He shows Himself, and then He tells them to go to churches they don't even know about. To go to individuals. And every church that in this vision Jesus instructs them to go to is a church that truly preaches the gospel. Every person that Jesus instructs, but Jesus knows his people don't. Every person Jesus instructs him to go to is a person who knows the truth of the Bible. And there they hear the gospel and their lives are changed. And evidence of their change is in their communities. People know, their family knows that their religion has changed. And immediately the persecution is turned on. And they're fleeing for their lives, escaping out of the country. I don't even know I could pronounce her name, but the one that touched my heart was Nadirath Majdour. This is a young lady. She got saved much in the manner that I was telling you about. Made her way to Germany. In fact, she was one of the first ones. But the lady minister in Germany said that when this young lady came to us, she had no hair on her head. And the reason she had no hair on her head is because when she got converted, she began to tell people about Jesus. And then she would say, I love Jesus more than Muhammad. And they incarcerated her and they beat her on the head till they beat her hair off. And she escaped, made it to Germany, said, I want to be baptized. I'm telling you, her life was truly changed. I believe in that type of conversion through Jesus Christ. He changes the heart, the life, the mind, the destiny. He changes the person. And every water baptism you see tonight is a statement that our God can change a life. I want to ask the candidates to go ahead and get prepared after I finish praying here. But let's bow our hearts. Father, I don't know whom you're speaking to tonight, but I believe by your Spirit there's something crying out in an individual. I need a change. I need a change in my life. I need a change in my way of thinking. I don't feel right about things. I don't think right. I have no assurance. I have no hope. I need a change. Holy Spirit, direct them right to Jesus. Jesus, make yourself known to them. I've been praying, but if you're one of those here tonight that needs that change, I want to tell you as Peter did, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, doesn't matter your name, your past, your problems, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent. There'll be a day you'll be baptized to show that you've been saved, but repent. Turn to him. You'll find he's got open arms. Now, Lord, may someone pray right now, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I repent. I believe you're my Savior. Save them, Lord, even where they're at tonight. Speak to their heart in the name of Christ. Amen. Candidates, if you get prepared, Brother Steve.
Hallelujah. Sing this chorus with us. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Hallelujah. How many remembers the day that the Lord saved him? Praise the Lord. Let's sing this chorus together.
He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet on the straight narrow way. And that is the reason I sing and I shout. For Jesus came down and he lifted me up. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet on the straight narrow way. reason. I sing and I shout, for Jesus came down and he lifted me out.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that he lifted me out. Hallelujah. Brother Mike, if you'll pull up them words, I just feel like we need to sing, He Brought Me Out of the Deep Miry Clay. Hallelujah. My heart was distressed, deep Jehovah's dread found, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul to sing, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until a crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll tell of the pit with its gloom and despair. I'll praise the dear Father who answered my prayer. I'll sing my new song, the glad story of love, then join in the chorus with the saints above. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could we praise him and thank him for bringing us out of the deep miry clay? Thank you, Lord. So good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Tracy Autumn loves the Lord. She loves people too.
Amen.
And the love of Christ shows through her as she loves people. She's going to tell you what the Lord's done for her.
The Lord saved me when I was growing in the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you turn here? We're going to pray for you. Father, we ask you to lay your hand upon Tracy Autumn.
Yes.
Keep her, Lord, all the years of her life. As she grows, Lord, keep your hedge of protection around her. Lord, this love that she shows for people, it's your love. May she continue to allow you to love people through her. Now bless her and keep her, oh God. Thank you for the blessing you've made her, Lord, to those around her.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen. Tracy, upon the confession of your sins and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his command and authority, I do now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Spirit came to Ryan, it was evident to all that God was calling and touching. He's going to tell you what happened.
Just as Pastor said earlier, when someone's saved, there's a conversion. You're no longer the person that you were by any means. Your desires, what you want out of life, things that you did, none of it's there anymore. It's nothing that you can really do in your own power, and it was nothing that I could do in my own power. I had this void in my life that I couldn't fill. I tried everything. So many things I tried to do, whether it be any, I won't get into what it was, anything that I've tried, it never worked. I was always trying to fill that, never could find it. And so one day, I don't know how really we heard about Union Road. I don't know if maybe my grandfather told me about it or what it was. We started listening to messages. They were great messages. They were truly the first experience of the word being taught that we'd ever really experienced. You know, we had grown up in, or we'd been in other churches that we didn't really get out what we wanted to get out from it. So finally, you know, we listened to messages and we said, you know what, why don't we just come in sometime? And, you know, me, I was like, yeah, okay, that's a good idea, cool, let's go. And so we get here, and immediately, this might not be going where you guys think it's headed, I wasn't excited to go as soon as I got in. We pulled up in the parking lot, and I was nervous. I didn't know what was going to come. You know, I heard about, you know, the way that Pentecostal people worship, and we weren't used to that, you know. The jean skirts and no pants, no shorts, none of that. We didn't, it freaked me out a little bit. But but we came in here, and I'll try to not take too much of your guys' time, but we came here, and immediately I felt convicted, just absolute convicted. I did not want to be here at all, but I knew I needed to be. This is exactly where I needed to be. I knew what I needed in my life, but I wasn't willing to bow my knee just yet. And I tried to do everything that I could to make myself whole. It didn't work. It did not work. It never would. I kind of told the Lord that, you know what, I'm going to go to Ohio State, and when I realize my need for you, then I'll bow my knee. You know, I'll fix myself first. In hindsight, after I was saved, I realized I was headed for destruction, absolute destruction. I know that for a fact. And the Lord spared me of that. You hear that the Lord's merciful, and you hear before you're saved, you think, oh, he's merciful, that's a word. Oh, he's great, that's a word. And he saves souls, and it's just a thought. Until you actually experience that, it's unbelievable. He'll mess up your plans, as Brother Atkins said in a message one time. He'll take your plans and just mess them up. And he's doing that to me, and I'm thankful for it. And just want to thank all of you guys for just opening up your arms to us and welcoming us as a family, each and every one of you. We love you guys, and I love my family. I'm so glad to have him here. It means so much to us. And just the work that he's done in mine and my parents' lives, our home is no longer a broken home. And there's truly, truly a work of God that happened. And I praise him for that. Thank you.
Father, we thank you that you have called. Thank you, Lord. Ryan has responded. Lord, you plucked him, Lord, as a brand from the burning. You have saved him for a purpose and a reason to be a vessel, Lord, unto you. Lord, I pray you'd lead him, keep him, O God. Lord, protect him, keep him from all evil and temptation. Lord, help him to remember, O Lord, that you have touched him and made him yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ryan, upon the confession of your sins and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God in the land forever. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. New life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God has a special place in his heart for marriage. It's his creation. It's wonderful when God works this way. Husband, wife, draws them together, family. Yes. That's a wonderful thing. I'm going to let them share what the Lord's done with you.
I just want to thank God for totally changing me, my husband, my son, our family. I'm not the same person I used to be. And I love the Lord, and I thank him.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Just very thankful that God has changed my life. Just reached down and plucked me out of the world. Tried for a long time to change myself on my own power and just can't do it. But I was very much like Ryan and what he had said about, you know, coming here and being different and what we had heard. And it was just amazing when our very first day, the love that we felt here. Mm-hmm. Just so thankful for each and every one of you, you know, our family. And I'm so thankful that our children are here and their families.
Yes.
very blessed to have them and very thankful for each and every one of them. I love all of you guys very much and just appreciate you and appreciate the just being able to serve God and want to be obedient to Him and show Him obedience and love and just very thankful.
Praise Him. I pray for you together. Father, thank you for this husband, this wife. The Lord, as individuals, they've heard your voice, responded to your call. Lord, not only do they have you in their hearts, they have you in their home. Thank you, Lord, that you're truly Lord of all. And Lord, what you have begun, you will complete. Keep your hand upon them. Lead them, Lord. As they grow in you, Lord, let them know the fullness of your Spirit and your power to be vessels through whom that river of life flows from. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Steve. I can just set him right here.
Amen. Upon the confession of your sins and the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Upon the confession of your sins and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps you're here tonight and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you've been saved, you've been born again, but you've not obeyed the Lord in water baptism. We can make accommodations. If there's anyone who'd like to be baptized tonight, you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Praise the Lord. We ask Brother Steve to come back. And as they're singing, if you're here, and you've not yet experienced what these were talking about, but there's something going on in your heart right now saying, I would like that, I need that. As Brother Steve is singing tonight, we use this step in front of the pulpit as an altar. But as they're singing tonight, if you would like to have Christ in your life in this way, you just come. You just come as they're singing. There'll be people immediately that will come and pray with you. If you need Christ in your life, if you would come, amen, as they're singing, he'll change your life. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hymnal, in your hymnal, page 116, getting ready to leave this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're getting ready to go to someplace else. It's a whole lot better than what we got here. Amen. Let's sing together. Laying up my treasure in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world, getting ready to leave this world, getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world, trusting in the riches of his saving grace. In each earthly trial I his love can trace,
Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Trusting in the riches of His saving grace. In each earthly trial I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Hallelujah. Let's praise Him and worship Him tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've gone to prepare a place for Him. You said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit of When We All Get to Heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. Page 393. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we all get to heaven,
what a day of hallelujah that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory.
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let's thank the Lord one more time for what He's done. Thank you, Lord, for the change you make. Thank you, Lord, for the difference you make. Hallelujah. 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 I would have them sing it again as I do. Why don't you greet one another, love one another as we conclude this service. Show your love one to another. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, amen, love one another tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, when we all get to heaven, oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be.